All right, everybody, welcome to Norwood Free Methodist Church. Welcome, everybody online. Of course, welcome in the house. It's good to see a full house today. I'm just going to talk about my week a little bit, not in that self way that I did last week, where it was all about what I had been through. Instead, what I'm going to do is I tend to just speak out of what God's speaking in my life, because what else is there really? You know what I mean? I'm not Moses. I'm not Joshua. I'm some dude who's following God. But I think maybe we can learn from each other's stories. So this week's been interesting for me. He's showing me something that you can take this one of many layers. You can take this as, okay, or we can really dig into this beyond what might sound mundane to you, and this can be really explosive. Because for me, this week has been absolutely explosive. My 17th, 18th year of following Christ, some of the principles he's taught me this week, I feel closer to God than I ever have in my life this week. And it's not, oh, good job, AJ. No, it's like he wants me to share what we've been talking about. But if it sounds mundane or easy, you're not hearing me. Okay? So we're going to tear down some stuff. And listening online, I don't know your backstories, but I'm going to tear down some religious-y stuff and some churchy stuff. Did Pastor just say that? Yes, I did. Because that's what God's been doing to me this week. He's been talking about, you ready for the word we're going to use a lot today? Relationship. And all of you who got tight about me saying religion and church, just relax, because now you see where I'm going. I'm going to go in the same avenue that, I don't know, what's his name? Oh, Jesus always went, right? I'm going to be a little sarcastic today. Are we okay with that? Good grief, people. All right, I want to look at two slides today, of course, from the Word of God. John was his best friend. He wrote this a while after Christ had ascended. But this is a firsthand account, and he recalled that Jesus said this right here: "Remain in me, and I'll remain in you." Because understand this, I made you guys, and no branch can actually bear fruit by itself. It's got to remain in the vine, and neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine. I know you've been looking at all these other places for your nutrients and stuff that you need, but it's me. I'm the vine, and you're the branches. And so kind of like I just said, if a man or woman remains in me and I in him, he's going to actually bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay, I kind of have a joke I just thought of. It's so cheesy, but I laughed my stupid head off years ago. You are the branches, and I am divine. Get it? It works on so many levels. I laugh like a fool in front. Anyway, so let's go back a slide, and I want to expose this a little bit here. Jesus sitting there going like this. He's saying, listen, I was talking to somebody yesterday. And again, this might sound, thank you, Donna Godza. She's corny like I am, that's why. Share sister nods. So listen, this is all mundane, but let's put it together. Not mundane, you've heard all this, but let's put it together. So, boom, time begins, right? This whole thing happens, we'll talk about. And then you have Heavenly Father, you have God, Creator God, on the mountain, in the ark, and kind of around, right? Then they say, hey, God's going to come. We're going to call him Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? Do you remember? God with us. Oh, cool, cool. So God was there, but now God's with us. And he's walking around with him. And then God with us says, I'm out. I got to go. But it's actually better for you. Because now instead of God with you, you actually going to have God in you. What? What? What a time to be alive. The age of grace right now, 2017. No longer do we look at God from afar. Right? No longer do we say, if I can get around him and actually make eye contact with him, I've got God's attention on the earth. Now it's God inside of us. Okay, so I just laid out human history. Did I not? Beginning, you have all three members of the Trinity represented on the earth for a period of time. And then, guess what happens next? What is imminent? They close down shop, guys. All right, sorry guys, we're closed. All three of us are going to be with our kids again, face to face, no more veil. But isn't that neat, though? In increments, we've experienced each individual representation of the Father, God in all three. We're not doing that today. The triune God. But here's what he says to us. He says, remain in me and I'll remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. Now, I used to read churchy, condemning stuff about that. But you know what fruit I want in my life? Gentleness. I want to be a gentle dad to my little petite daughter who's 2 years old. And she loves hugs and kisses. And that's the fruit I want to bear in my home, right? Self-control. Any parents understand that that's like what we live on, right? Anybody? Wake up going, okay, God, help me not to snap today when they do that again and again and again. And I've told you this 500 times. I thought we were over this. You're 4 years old. You'd be able to do that. Put your socks on, Alex. That was this morning. I don't want to be too loud. I don't want him to hear me. He's going to get a complex. Daddy's talking about me again. But, right? That's the fruit I want to... And Jesus is saying this. He says, look, there's a way. And I know you all have been doing churchy religy. I get that. But let me just break it down for you. If you abide, says some translations and some old songs we sing. If you abide, if you remain in me, the things you know you want to see in your own life coming out of you, they're going to be there. I'm not the man I want to be yet, you guys. But Jesus just said, hey, this is a one-way road and it doesn't vary. You're gonna. AJ, you used to be hot-tempered, let's say. Remain in me, buddy. We'll get there. I need that self-control to put that addiction down. I really do. Stay with me, buddy. We'll get there. You will bear fruit. And understand, please, people listening online, anybody here who's decided that tomorrow's the day when I'm going to start following and being grafted into here, tomorrow, no branch could bear fruit by itself. If you could change you, you already would have. That is step one in addiction recovery. You're here because you need help. If you could bear fruit by yourself, be the dad you want, the mom you want, the daughter, blah, 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 you already would be that person. Do we understand that? And this is important because there's people who broke through crowds to touch Jesus. Nothing else is working, okay? I've had this issue my whole life and just maybe. And do you understand that that's the posture that gets you to Christ and to remain in him? You're all I want. You're all I need. That job seems nice. And even though I'm struggling with this physical issue and the unmet needs, but you're all I want. Let me know you're near. Will you just touch my hand? Okay? That's what we're talking about here. Not religion, not church. Remain in him. And we're going to look at that today. And this, again, you can look at this, oh, yeah, relationship, but this blew my mind and changed things for me this week. It truly did. So the person I want to be is found when I remain in Christ. Next one, please. And I love how when he's repetitious, you got to be careful. And again, he's the vine. Let's do this. Let's do the picture. That's next. Because everybody remembers visual stuff, right? Because we're not really agriculturally up here as much as, right? I don't harvest grapes. The vine, which is where the nutrients come up, the water and everything you need gets, guess who does the work? Yeah, the vine does, doesn't it? The vine's the one that grows the roots and finds the nutrients and bears against the wind and reaches toward the sun, right, Mike? The branch just hangs out, doesn't it? And it gets fed by the vine over time. This is a beautiful reference to our lives. It truly, truly is. But make no mistake, guys. I got to turn it down a little bit. We're just getting into this. If you want to, let's say we saw a job, somebody looking for a career. And sometimes you get to the point where I don't want a job anymore. I want a career. Lord, what am I going to put myself toward, right? We can either be in the vine and say, I'm not going to take any situation without you because that would mean I'm jumping off of where all my stuff flows from. Or you can look at it in your own strength and jump off from where all your stuff flows from. How many people know a minimum... Okay, I'm going to stretch it today. How many people know a minimum wage job can actually provide so much more for you when blessed by God than something you thought was amazing that you know will inevitably crumble and take everything from you? How many people know, Bruce, that sometimes when you're actually giving back God 10% like he asked, he'll multiply that so much more and it makes no sense? I'm just telling you the truth today, y'all. And that's what he's been walking through in my life. If I remain in him, relationship, flowers bloom. I love garden. Wow, beautiful. We're sinking. Mind meld. Garden. I don't know if you've seen The Shack or read The Shack. Do it. I have $10 for you. It's not scripture. I'll get that. Okay. It's not scripture. It's not the living word of God, but wow. But William Paul Young, I believe, was totally tapped into something. What I was going to talk about was the garden, okay? This is the picture I get, and it's springtime. Yeah, and I'm actually ripping this dead off from Paul Young. I picture like a yard or a garden sort of area. And see if anybody can relate to this. This is something prison ministry, I'm sure, does a lot of. When Holy Spirit is allowed to walk into the areas of our lives, wherever Holy Spirit goes, there is life. Death is the absence of life, correct? Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and life. Death is the absence of God. Oh, that's good, people. Darkness is the absence of light. God is light. Darkness is the absence of God as well. And so Holy Spirit walks into these areas of our lives. And this is the picture I get. And I'm so hippie. I really am. I get it. But walking through a garden and I can just see flowers blooming and stretching up as he walks by. And all the different colors pop up. And it's life. Now this area over here is really brown and broken and dead. And let's say that's our anger. and Holy Spirit walks over. And as soon as Holy Spirit touches, there's life. Do we understand what I'm saying? And that's what I'm getting out of this, this agricultural reference. This is our lives. Remain in me. Stay. Abide. Stay with me. And this is what will happen. Don't jump out of this situation with me. So let's start our message today, shall we? that was all. Yeah. So this is not about trying to be better. How many people are tired, or at one point were tired, of trying to be better or be like that person or feel okay inside of yourself when serving God? Anybody been on that little hamster wheel? Yeah, it's terrible. And you know what you end up doing? You end up throwing up your hands and going, that's not for me. And you start saying things like, everybody's a hypocrite in church and I can't measure up and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, cool, because you're running a race that nobody else should run. And I'm not putting that on you. We're going to clear things up today. Relationship, abiding with Jesus, is not about trying to be better. I mean, that's what he showed me today. This is awesome. Last week, we even talked about throw off the sin that so easily entangles you and run your race. But abiding in Christ isn't even about that. It's true. It's true. It's about drawing close and remaining, staying in relationship. Now, here's the thing. What I'm about to tell you is going to go right by some people's heads. And I understand that. That's fine. But if you could take this one right between the eyes and really work this, this is the most explosive thing I've ever walked through. And I'll see if you guys agree with me afterward. I'm actually talking about you starting or cultivating a one-to-one relationship with communication, time, dialogue with the living God. Here's the problem with the Western church. You ready? A lot of people, and I was telling Dave this, are content to talk to Moses and not walk up and talk themselves to God. Yeah. Moses, what did God say? Or already, AJ, what's God say? And y'all know me, I'll go talk to him yourself, bro. I got my own stuff I'm working out. A, don't ever look at me, okay? But don't you stop here. Keep walking, and then you tell me what he says to you. But the Western church is full of people who want a celebrity pastor that can tell them what God said. Well, guess what? That's not real. I can't hear from God for you. In counseling, granted, we can do this together, and that's a gifting, but not from the pulpit and not just blah, blah, blah. Well, that's word today. No, that was his word that maybe he used, but he wants to keep talking to you about what he just said. You hear something today that hits you. You close the laptop, you shop the phone, you get in your car, and you go, okay, Father, I heard that. Let's talk about it. You and me, not AJ and me. I'm just going to tell you straight. I struggle to fit in church. Because corporate worship is very, very important. Being in church doesn't make me a Christian any more than being in a garage makes you a car. Amen. Amen. I get that. But you know what? You got a lot better shot at doing life arm in arm with other believers. Amen. Oh, there it is. That's right. It can help you be a better, more devoted, more, right? And also, the local church is where God tends to look out for you when you're in need. God gives me all I need. Yeah, but he tends to use the local church. As I look out to the folks I've sat in the office with, or people who have had financial difficulties, or have made relationships and used trailers and things like this, right? Or even prayer requests. God uses the local church to bolster you and make relationship. Where was I going with that? Rewind. Church is not where you find God. Church is not where, might be where you find him. Church is not where the relationship gets cultivated and grows. No more than, you know what I mean? Well, you go to school, you see the same kids every day. It doesn't mean you know them. When you take the time to one-on-one get to know them, share some of yourself, they share some. That's where intimacy grows, right? Just because you see your wife every day doesn't mean she knows you love her. Oh my gosh, wow, he went there with it. We need to continuously share ourselves, right? And sometimes church is not that place necessarily to do that with your walk with God. The Western world is content to talk to Moses about God and not know God, not get into relationship with God. That is not remaining in me. That's showing up. Yeah, okay. There's a lot of people who know about Jesus and don't know Jesus. That's good too. Boy, if somebody would tweet all this, Brittany, I can count on you pretty much, right? That was, yeah, she holds up her phone. No, that's real good because the world is full of a lot of people who know about Jesus and they're not remaining in. And they wonder why they keep hitting the same bump over and over and over and over and over again. And the fact of the matter is, you know about him. You know the way he says to do things, but you're not doing it with him. You're not remaining in him. And nobody's coming at you today. I'm actually really excited to learn that it's not about trying to be better. It's about staying by his side. That's it. That's really all it is, guys. Let me skip ahead here. Reform that relationship, guys. We form the relationship. Now, what does that mean? Share everything with them. A lot of times, any parents in here, how terrible would it be? And I'm not putting it down. I'm just keeping it real. How bad would it be? How much would it hurt us if the only time our kids ever talked to us is when they needed something? There are times I'm sure some of us have felt that way. Right? You only call me when you're in trouble, you little... What we really want as parents is relationship, right? Not just, Mom, this went wrong. How about, how was your day? How about, you know, thanks, Mom, for the spaghetti you made me, or whatever. How about, these are my concerns, or how about, what did you do that you enjoyed the most today? I want to share life with you, oh daughter, oh son. That's abiding. That's abiding. Religion tells you, go to God when you need something, when you've screwed up. Do this, this, and this. Hop on one foot. Say four of these magical words. Oh, I'm stomping on some toes here, aren't I? Say four of these special magical prayers that we said, and you'll be good with God. And Jesus says, remain in me. I never asked you to do that. The hokey pokey's fun at a wedding. Do they still do it at weddings? Am I dating myself? It's more the chicken dance now, isn't it? Even that's dating myself. Okay, now there's stomping, apparently. But that's what I'm talking about. What Jesus is saying, remain in me. He did not say, do this, be this, become this. He said, remain in me. And then your life will matter. Go drive by a cemetery, guys. And in your mind, think about every life that was lived. And I hope, you got to hope inside. I hope every life counted. I hope every life left this world better than when it got here. I really do. I hope it, what's the word? I hope it bore fruit, right? That other people could get nutrition from. It helped other people heal. Hope that life helped other people's lives. I hope it bore fruit. Jesus says, you remain in me. You will. You will. You'll leave this world better than you left it. You'll partner with me in what I'm doing. Religion won't get you there. Even just a blind devotion to church will never get you there. But remaining in Jesus, he promises that it will. And I'm going to say what I say every week. And I almost feel like it's almost a test I have within myself. Because if I say this every week, then I have a feeling I'm doing something right. Who is this more about? The branch or the vine? The vine. The vine does the work. The vine makes the promises. The vine says, I'll be the one if you hang out in my presence. You can't go wrong if we magnify Jesus Christ. You can't go wrong if it's about God, right? But religion says it's about you. I'd much rather have expectations and trust on him than Butthead, because I know what I get. Okay? Moving forward, I have a friend who recently decided to follow Christ. And you know what's awesome about him? And I don't want to give any clues because some of you might know him, but he doesn't know better. Kind of like me. If you know my story, Mom's not here. I wonder where Mom is. Somebody call Mom later. Make sure she's okay. That's not a joke. I mean, just, you know, she's supposed to be here. that was awful. Is she? Mark, don't say that. Lying in church, this guy. Scaring me. My situation, guys, is I came to church. I came to Christ. I didn't have a church. So I had a Bible and a real inclining that there was something more. And so I just read it and I believed it. I know that sounds weird, good, but I don't know church. In other words, I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I didn't know what I was supposed to feel guilty about, quote unquote. I had none of that. All I had was you? Oh, absolutely you. And it made me kooky, and I'm still kooky. Absolutely. Driving on a motorcycle yesterday, just screaming and praising God because I got a helmet on. And even if the cows hear me, who cares? It's awesome. I was too, and the cows all looked at me. I was like, don't judge me. That's where I come from. I come from the kind of the wilderness thing. And this is the same guy where he goes, I don't know much. Ready? Listen. I don't know much about prayer, but sometimes when I'm doing the dishes, I just talk to God about what I'm thinking. I was like, oh. Boom, slams the mic down. That's exactly what prayer is. No one ever told him, our Father, thou art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. No, that's good. It's a nice model for prayer, but that's not what you pray. Not when, help, Father, I really need you. Not when that's what you want to pray. Alex, don't walk up to me with a rehearsed thing. Don't do it. Just talk to Daddy. Use your words. That's prayer, right? That's absolutely prayer. Religion won't get you there. Abiding in God will. But I'm excited with that friend of mine that says that. How do we get to abide with him? Like I said, share yourselves with him. I used to stick a cell phone up to my ear when I lived around people. Now I live in the woods and I just do this. But when I lived around, like in London, I'd walk around with a cell phone on and I'd be talking to God. I'm really nervous about this. No, nobody knew, right? But I wanted to talk to God. That's how I do it out loud. That's just me. For some reason, guys, the most powerful prayers in my life are the ones out loud. I don't know what it is. And it's something like where I click in and the ADD kind of shuts down a little bit maybe, or, but when I talk out loud to him, that's just really where it's at for me. That's part of abiding, guys, starting to really set time aside and share myself with him. Again, religion won't get you there. This is actually a relationship situation, sitting with him, right? And this can be so, so powerful in our lives. We let it flow, okay? We let ourselves flow. Some people think that's weird because, again, you're used to religion where you just sit there and you do it quietly and, right? You only let these certain emotions go. So when you see David dancing in a loincloth, that seems really weird to you that someone would rock out in the name of God. Okay, so wait, I get to share this part of me, sad, angry, fearful, but I don't get to, you know, share awesome, excited, amped up AJ? I didn't know I told Alex he can't be himself around me, did I? Tucker, listen, nobody. Only when you're scared, only when you're worried. I don't know, the singing, you know what I mean? You don't get to, right? You share all of yourselves. Now, I told you in the beginning of this, some of this might sound mundane, some of this might sound whatever, but some of us, this is going to be the green light for us to actually start walking and sharing all of ourselves. We following me? It's not about trying to be better. It's not about trying to impress him. It's about sitting next to him and don't get up and walk away. Just stay there. Just stay there. Abide with me. Remain in me. So let's rewind this a little bit. I don't want to go long today. Mankind turned from God. Now, this is where I'm going to get a little theological for you, okay? This is recorded. You could always go back and listen to it. Mankind turned from God. We demanded our independence, and in that act, we got it. We got independence. He granted it. I want to be God. I know what's best for me. And in this simple act, I'm going to declare my independence. Dad, I'm out of here. And God goes, you have free will. The spiritual and the physical were separated. Now, each one of us, the reason I say this, we have this huge gulf between us and our dad and creator dad. Each one of us has a chance using that free will. Adam used his free will. Adam and Eve used their free will to separate from God, right? Each one of us born, we have our free will. Do you want to return to me? Do you want to turn back to me? Your forefathers turned away and created this gulf. I've made a way through Jesus Christ. You can turn back to me. Do you want to maybe throw away your independence for relationship with me? Do we follow that, guys? It's high. It's heady. I get it. You got your independence. Everybody's born independent now. But Father God's going, you could be my son, my daughter. Your forefather wanted independence. What do you want? And then some of us sing, you're all I want, more than what I want. You're all I need, or ever needed. I don't want my independence anymore. I want to return to you. And when we say that's what's being saved, that's all it is, Bruce, isn't it? It's, I've been doing everything with this independence that Adam and Eve bought for me, and it stinks. Can you? I'm going to put down my independence, and I'm going to walk over, and through Christ Jesus, I'm going to pass that expanse, and I'm going to be, and I'm going to remain with you. Right? That's amazing stuff, you guys. Returning. And every single person has that. And I want to say, if you're listening online, that's as simple as it is. You don't have to fully be convinced. If you've never actually said, Lord Jesus, I want to be part of your family. I want to be what we call saved, safe in relationship with you. You can do that right now. You say, I choose to believe. I want to be reconciled with you, Father God. Have me as your child. I make you my Lord. You're the one who gets to steer the ship. My independence wasn't as cool as I thought it was. It reminds me of my brother who packed a suitcase when he was like 8 years old because he was tired of mom and dad. Anybody have these stories? I'm out of here. And dad was like, cool. See ya. I won't say that, but anyway. Okay, cool, right? What does Nick do? Packs his suitcase with what? His favorite stuffed animals and his favorite shirt or something? I don't know. And, right? I'm out of here. He gets out the front door, right, Kirk? I think I'll just sit here for a while. And of course, dad and mom are looking out the window, but Nick has done it. He wants his independence. And then his tummy rumbles because he forgot to eat lunch. Oh, maybe I'll... Pokes his head in. There's little brother dancing, eating peanut butter and jelly. What's up? It's nice in here. Nice in here. And Nick goes, my independence wasn't really all it was cracked up to be. Dad, can I come back in? And what does dad say? He says, absolutely. Unpack your bags, be my kid. But we do a lot of things to avoid remaining in him. And again, this is where I'm going to get a little heady. We as humans, we set up structures and systems to control, to manage, and to run our lives. And I'll say this. Every single one of those things is a way for us to protect our independence. Systems, rules, systems to control, structures, they're all acts and declarations of independence. We set these things up. Again, you don't have to follow me on this one. This is for you this week. We set these things up, guys, so that we don't have to abide in or have to remain in trust in God. What do we do when we doubt and when we get uncomfortable with the remaining? We set up a system, a structure, a role, and we start trusting in that. You follow me even a little bit as a way to not actually have to abide? If anyone ever tries to sell you a system, by the way, especially if you're listening online, it's not of God. This is where religion goes right down the toilet. This kept happening even in the early church, and I was going to talk about it, but I'm not going to today. Even in the early church, this is what they did. The Lord Jesus comes back. Hundreds and hundreds of people see him. He teaches them. He eats, so that means he's actually there physically. He rises again. He says, okay, I'm going to go. You can have the Holy Spirit. Boom. Pentecost happens. What happens shortly after that? A group of people come into the church, Dave, and they say what? Oh, no, guys, it's not just Jesus. It's Jesus and Jesus and circumcision, Jesus and baptism, Jesus and membership to this church, Jesus and confession, Jesus and plenary indulgence, Jesus and, do you want me to go through the ages here? If anyone ever says it's Jesus and or another God or your behavior and what you do, they're wrong. Think, there we go. It's that simple. What's my test, AJ? If it's Jesus and, run. Run, run. Jesus and Joseph Smith, wrong. Jesus and the prophet, wrong, absolutely wrong. Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy, wrong. Oh, Dave, am I doing this? Every single one of them? Wrong, 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 wrong. It's just Jesus. It's just Jesus. Systems won't get us there, guys. We are to remain in Christ Jesus. And again, you know what we do so that we don't have to remain? Bill, we set up systems, right? That's what we do. And it actually goes with, Kirk, as I'm thinking about this, it goes with talking to the man of God and not going to God. If we set up the system where you got to talk to me, I control you. Well, I don't know, Maria. God says in this, this, and this, and I start using it against you. And if you want to be accepted here, Maria, you'll do what I think is best. You've all been there. Yeah, and bye-bye, run. Run, absolutely, and I'll help you. I've got a motorcycle now. We can go together really fast. We set up systems so we don't have to live eye to eye with Christ Jesus. I'll give you one that's going to ruffle some feathers. Here's a system we set up, a role we set up to avoid actual intimacy in relationship. We took marriage and decided to set up an unequal footing in marriage. Let me read this right here. Instead of running the risk of having what God intended, which is equality, eye-to-eye, complementary things, we had to set up roles. And roles are the enemy of actual intimacy and abiding and remaining. It's true. So what we do is we form a structure, a system. And William Young actually says this, filling roles is the opposite of relationship. We are to abide in relationship both equally and complementary to one another. And we abide in Christ who empowers us to do this. That's the problem. Don't you understand that? You need a boss at work because if you didn't, you guys would both have to sit there and listen to God about who's supposed to do what every day. And you don't want to, so somebody gets put in charge. Come on, am I wrong, guys? Father, Son, Holy Spirit shows us what we're supposed to have. Equal submission. No authoritarian structures. Do you follow me? Who's greater? Is it Father, Son, Holy Spirit? Is it God the Father? Jesus is cool and Spirit's weird and we don't know what he does? No, it's Father, Son, Spirit. Equal, right? That's what we were supposed to have. Adam and Eve, equal. And we're supposed to have that relationship with God. Where does our ability to have relationship come from? God within himself. I can have a relationship with Donna because God has relationship in himself. Do you understand that? Right, it came out of him. Everything came out of him. And so let me prove this to you about marriage equality. Where'd the first woman come from? The man. Where has every man ever come from since that day? From a woman. But think about it. If Eve had not come from man, then every man would have been born of woman and it would not have been equal. He created a relationship circle. Understand that? In other words, ready? If every man ever born had needed a woman to birth him, the woman would have been greater. Get it? Because you're of me. Right? Even in Hebrew, they say, Ben Yosef, of me. But we're not of woman, because you came from man. It's a circle. Like Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We're supposed to have relational intimacy, but we don't want it. So we say things like man's head of the household. It's easy. Check the box. Check the box, because you know what you got to do if you don't? You got to remain in Christ. Oh, this is so good. My God, I want to get down where you are. Will somebody talk up here and I'll go take notes? No, but it's breaking it down, isn't it? We're breaking stuff off. And all I'm saying is if you're sitting next to Christ Jesus, whatever that is on the prayer request, whatever concerns we have, even our roles in marriage, bear fruit. Just like he said. It's as though Jesus knows what he's talking about. And all the condemnation that has been put on us falls off us, doesn't it? I'm not the husband I want to be. I'll admit it right now in front of you guys. I'm not going to give you details, but I've really got some work to do. But here's the cool part. Still feeling crappy about myself and getting in the car and beating myself up, my priority is just go get next to him and stay there. What does that mean? It means tomorrow when I wake up, I just say, Father, hi. Hi, this is my day. I would like you to, you know, will you share it with me? And that's abiding with him. Let's be weird for God in a way where we act. Let's live like we believe the physical is not all there is. Unapologetically. Let's live as though we believe the physical is not all there is. Because if you truly believe God's with you and in the room, stop ignoring him. The old elephant in the room, right? If God's in the room, maybe you say hi to him once in a while. You want to say something cool? This is going to make me sound so good. Take this for half, because I hate these stories. So, as you know, I have like no life outside of my home, except for my two little children. So, we play constantly all day. And once in a while, Alex will be like, what, Daddy? And he'll catch me just kind of praying, because I'm by myself. And again, I'm a little loony, and I live in the woods. But I'll be sitting there, and sometimes I'll be like, oh, Father, blah, blah, blah. I'll even say, God, can you remind me to? I will, because I won't remember. And nobody else is around. I'll say, Father, can you remind me to? And God, and Alex will be, what, Daddy? And I'll be just talking to God, bro. And I'm not joking, like recently, and I've not done that. That's only happened like a few times in his four-year life. But recently, I've been like, what, Bob? And he's like, I'm just talking to God. Amen. He does! And it's not about profound things. In fact, I'll tell you a bad one. I'm trying to be more purposeful because the daughter does not play like the son at all. Alex can wrestle with me for 24 hours straight. He'd skip meals. He wouldn't need a drink. He would hold his pee-pee. He'd just wrestle with Daddy, right, Kirk? That's it. Little girl, not interested. And I try to make it interesting. Not interested. She wants me to pretend to be a baby. Like, we're on the bed, and I'm giving it to Alex. I'm feeding him what I call the drill fist, like that. I'm really wailing on him to make him a little tougher. That's my responsibility as a dad, right? It's a joke, guys. Calm down. Well, instead of jumping in and doing Battle Royale like I thought she was gonna, little Miss Izzy's like, you baby. And I'm like, in mid-punch to Alex, what? You baby. I'm like, oh. And he's punching me. I'm like, all right, stop, buddy. Listen. We got to do some Izzy stuff. What's a baby want? She's a bottle, baby. I'm like, oh, so I got to go. Wah, 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 wah. I go from like the masked Avenger pounding on my son to like, wah, wah. Well, this is what happens. So I'm telling him, and he used it against me the other day, but I was telling him, I'm like, Bubba, Daddy has two kids, okay? I'm going to play a certain way with you, and I have to play a certain way with others, okay? We can't just fight all the time like we've done for 4 years. Fine. He goes, who's going to play with me? And I said, I told you, I mean, I got to, fine, I'll just go play with God. And he goes and plays, builds blocks with him and God. It kind of was a subpar, he made it sound like it was subpar, so we got to work on that. But he does, instead of just going, I'll go play by myself, he goes, I'll go play with God, and goes and builds blocks. I'm like, well, that's not so bad, you know? My gosh. But is that not abiding, you guys? That's absolutely abiding. I've talked about marriage. I've talked about religion. I've talked about all these sort of things, guys. And I want to share another thing with you that might sound heretical if you don't hear me right. We went through this phase where we even said, what would Jesus do? And sometimes I used to sit there and go, what would Jesus do? Well, not what I just did. I must be. And I realized, you know what? God never wanted me. Okay, you ready? Again, listen carefully before you start chucking stones at me. I don't believe Jesus' life was meant to be an example for me to copy. I believe instead I am to kill my independence from him, let him live his life in my uniqueness. Understand? He's not trying to make me Jesus part two, otherwise he wouldn't have given me individuality. But his life comes to live inside me and lives out AJ's life. I'm not going to spend my life trying to cut my hair like him and be exactly like he was. I'm not supposed to be Jesus. I'm supposed to be me with his life inside of me. So what would Jesus do? No. What would AJ do with Christ inside of me? That's what God wants. That was a reassuring nod, Bruce. Thank you. Because that was a weird branch to go walking out on. Because for years we wore the bracelets. And sometimes it's actually hard to, I don't know why I did the lisp on there. And sometimes it's really hard to relate to a Hebrew man 2,000 years ago. It is. So instead I'm going, what is God's life inside of me? What does he want me to do in this situation? And the only way I know is if I remain right next to him. So let me wrap this up. The main thing for me is, again, I always looked at my behavior. And even if, hold me to this, even if you want to read the epistles, the teaching books in the Bible, there's lots of them, Ephesians, Romans, Corinthians, blah, 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 blah. Please understand that a lot of those are corrective letters. This changed things for me. For example, was it the Corinthian church was wild and crazy? Right. So if you just read Paul's tone in that, he's coming at you a little bit. You're like, oh, you're coming in hot, bro. If you look at the situation, that's not his recommendation for every new believer. That's correcting that specifically. Is it all true? 100%. Absolutely. Bulletproof? Yes. But I always took it as like, oh, boy, God comes in hot when he talks to you, Mike. No, in that situation he was. And here's what I learned. That was just a side tangent. That might be for somebody. But here's what I learned. It's not about my behavior and focusing on my behavior. It's about me focusing on my sonship. God is more about my sonship, your daughterhood, than about your job and what you're doing, or even about your behavior. Right, Bruce? Because all that other stuff flows out of that. And I always thought I had to look a certain way, Kirk, before I could come here. And some of you at home are thinking this very same thing. And that's why you're not in this building. I've heard people actually say that. Can I come to your church? Can I? What? Say what? Yeah. And it hurts me a little bit. Like, who has told you that anything would keep you from hearing Jesus? Right? He walked up on the mountain and everybody was able to hear him. He wanted everyone to hear him. What, are we going to start charging at the door and saying only certain people can hear what God has to say to them? Or certain behaviors aren't allowed in here? Every daughter and son is allowed around the Lord our God. And he's calling out. He wants more sons and more daughters, not more robots and better behaved people. Your behavior will follow out of relationship. My last part is this. Let's look at a slide. I almost forgot about this. This one jacked me right up. Maybe. I may have skipped two. I don't know. No. Let's go to the next one. Yeah. I misunderstood this or understood it only one way because the Bible is full of layers because it's the living word of God. This used to jack me right up. If anyone loves me, he'll obey my teaching. My Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home in with him. And on the converse would be the next one. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Those words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. So right now, Jesus has sandwiched this in real importance. Let's go back a slide. You want to know how I used to read this until this week? Ready? If you really loved me, you'd obey my teachings. Come on. Anybody ever feel that very same way? Brenda, thank you. Well, Bruce a little bit too. If you really loved me, you wouldn't do that. I remember when I was young, my mom took me to see Ace Ventura, the first movie. And it was a big deal. Mom never like took me to movies. I'm glad she's not here. A couple days later, she caught me smoking. And she goes, after all I've done for you, this is what you do to repay me? And I'm like, what does me liking smoking, don't smoke kids, ever, I'm a bad example. What does me like smoking have to do with you doing something nice for me? Like, I didn't do that because of that. I want to punish my mom, let me hurt my lungs. I didn't do that, it was a separate issue. But Dave, this is what I used to say, if you really love me, you'd put that down. If you, now let's rewind this. Mike, you want to go on this one with me? If anyone loves me, he then will obey my teaching. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. It almost actually sounds chronological to me. Out of your love for me, obedience for my teaching will be a byproduct. If you remain in me, I'm the vine and you're the branch, what'll grow is obedience to my teaching. This is not a litmus test to whether or not you love Jesus, because you're a piece of dust and you will screw this up. Refer to, I don't know, every single person in the Bible. If you love me, you'll actually begin to, you have the ability to, this will next slide, please. If you don't love me, you don't have a shot at this. The law will spike strip you on the way in. The law will, right? The law will just nail you right down. You'll know how dirty and awful and blah, blah. You'll never have a shot, Mike. The law will take you down to the knees before you even get to me. If you don't love me, you're not going to be able to obey my teaching. Let's go back one more. Sorry, Ninja Man. Brian, you're an all-star. And what comes after this? If you love me, you will obey my teaching. You'll get there, dude. You'll bear that fruit. Abide with me. You'll get there. And then what's going to happen? All of me, and the Hebrews would have truly understood this, my Father will absolutely love you. The one you've been worshiping for thousands of years from afar, you'll be truly intimately loved, and we'll come and make our home with you. And I think Jesus hates moving even more than AJ does. Once his home is made with you, he's not going to go anywhere. But if we abide in him, remain in him. I'm going to close, but I want to give you practical ways to do this. I get that every personality type's different. You're probably not out, I'm going to give away a secret, probably not out doing katas at midnight under the stars, shirtless like I was last summer. That was one of my things. Or nunchucking out in your, that's how I relate to God, right, Dave? Or you and I take walks in the woods. Maybe that's not you. You ready for this? Find out what is you and you're relating to God. Brenda probably loves to sing in her car and worship the Lord, because I know her well enough. Then do that. Absolutely do that. Lisa, music is her language for relating to God. She's not going to be like me, who's going to go into the woods and have a half-hour monologue to Christ about stuff he already knows. That's not her. But you know what? Take the time and do it. Open yourself up. The good, the bad, the ugly. Okay? And remain in God. What else did I have? It all starts with this. Commands don't motivate change, guys. They don't empower us to change. They show us what we're missing, how we're missing the mark. Love and relationships does. So we're going to sing a song because, yeah, I think I've said all I want. Listening online or here. Guys, it's your choice. It's your time and you have independence. So today, with your independence, you can either keep it to yourself or you can share that with the Lord. Now, it all starts with saying, I need you. So we're going to sing, Lord, I need you, which is step one in abiding with Christ. I need to get my guitar.
Lord, I come and I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found, that's where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. You're my one defense. You're my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. So teach my soul to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. 'Cause Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
Heavenly Father, we declare today, each one of us, in our independence, we declare that we need you. Father, we want to remain in you, Lord God. And show us, please, Father, right now. Can you show us individually what that means to each and every one of us? Because we know it's different for each one of your children. Help us to remain in you, Lord Jesus. And we trust that we will bear fruit. And we trust that you'll make your home with us and you'll never leave us, Lord God. Thank you, Father. We give to you our weaknesses. We give to you our strengths. We just want to be with you, Father. We thank you for all you've done for us. We're excited about the future you have for us, Lord. You're a good, good Father. And we worship in the name of Christ Jesus today. Amen. All right, everybody. Have a great week.